Welcome to How Can We Help? The advice podcast hosted by you, Jackie Pirico.
And you,
Mark Little.
Oh yeah, know what? I should have said Mark Little if I was in keeping with your style.
We are not professional advice givers. We're not licensed therapists.
Not by a mile.
No. We do have degrees, but in unrelated subjects.
Unrelated subjects and unused also by both of us.
What's yours in?
Linguistics.
Is it really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I was on the path of becoming a speech pathologist. You know how rich I'd be right now?
You as a speech pathologist.
Yes, me as a speech pathologist. You got something to say, Buster?
Do you think that's related or unrelated to the fact that when you speak, sometimes it feels like you're fashioning a new language each
It's not
time.
Unrelated because one of my favorite modules of my linguistics education was syntax, which is so cool, so crazy. It's like computer science of like learning how the brain like constructs phrases.
Yeah.
It's like you draw these trees of like, it's like a syntactic tree.
Right.
And things can move around invisible behind the scenes and still create, make the same meaning. So I just love doing that. That's what I'm doing.
What do you call it when someone is punished with extra years in hell?
What?
A syntax. Now, with us...
I cannot wait any longer. It makes so much sense that you would want to be a speech pathologist. I feel like it makes the most sense because, like, I think that you're, like, known for your voice and your way of talking.
Oh, yeah,
don't you
yeah.
Think?
People
and, like,
do.
And, like, your unique thoughts.
Yes.
But, like...
Many of us think it's a pathological trait of yours.
Some may say.
Yeah,
but I loved it. I ate it up. I was really engaged in school.
That's who we are.
Yep, sorry. That's who we are.
But in this podcast, we are going to be giving you advice based on your questions, based on questions that we found on the internet, and based on a little bit of celebrity interest that we'll visit later in the podcast.
And advice from someone else, too.
Yes. And we have a guest is what Jackie means. And our guest this week is Dana Smith.
Yeah, it's me.
Great to see ya.
Great to see you. What was your degree?
Yeah.
Mark?
Mine was in English literature.
Okay, that makes sense.
Snooze fest.
That's putting you to sleep.
Snooze
linguistics.
Fest, yeah.
I feel like they're pretty close.
No, that's where you're wrong.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
No, I feel like yours has to do more with history and yours has to do more with like works of fiction.
No,
you know?
Mine has to do with the brain.
Yeah.
That was my speciality. Like,
math
you can, you can go different directions. Like, there's historical linguistics, which is history.
Mm-hmm.
But then mine was more like Chomsky and like your universal grammar, like the thing in human brains that sets us aside from animals that allow us to use language.
Wow.
Brain science.
Do you think you'll ever do it?
I looked into it over the pandemic of returning and getting my master's, but there's so much clinical placement and like so much. It was just like, I immediately was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like there's so much references I need because there's so much time has lapsed since my getting my undergrad to like now. So I would have to go and find all these old I'm lazy.
I hear you. But I feel like didn't everyone during the pandemic go back and was
yes.
like, what degree could I get in 2 years
yes.
or less and make money? You know,
yes.
I think so. I mean, I did.
What'd you do?
I looked into speech pathology.
Oh, yeah?
I looked into physiotherapy.
Okay.
I looked into occupational therapy.
What is an occupational therapist?
So it's basically kind of like teaching people who have a disability or who are impaired in some way how to function in their life in a new way or in a way that works for them. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it is. So it's a lot of working with like you have clients, you work with hospitals. The thing is that I was just like I'm very susceptible to my surroundings. Like I like a nice place. I like being comfortable and I don't like hospitals. I don't think hospitals are nice and so I don't think I could ever work in one.
That takes some grit to work in a hospital.
It does. You have to be like okay with fluorescence, with like
yes.
smells and
yes.
with people being, I don't mind people being in vulnerable spots, but like a whole horde of them all the time.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of vulnerable people all in the same walls.
Yes.
It was funny that you said the smell of hospitals.
Yeah.
On the way here, I was just listening to ultra mega smash hit a long December by the Counting Crows. And the one lyric in that is the smell of hospitals in winter. Right, Stefan?
In winter?
In winter?
In winter, yeah.
What's that? What does he mean by that?
I don't know. I think he must have spent some time in a hospital in the wintertime. Smell of hospitals in winter.
And maybe they the can't open their...
Smell the Christmas tree first. Peppermint smell.
But like, do you guys like the Counting Crows or what?
I liked Round Here and Mr. Jones when
yeah.
I was young.
Yeah, oh, me too.
I liked those ones, yeah. yeah. Those are the only ones that I could name.
Is he still rocking the dreadlocks?
I don't
even
know.
Even in this day and age? This sensitive day and age?
I don't know. It wouldn't be good for him, would it?
No. Did you hear this? Our friend Rodrigo went to a Matchbox 20 concert wearing his dreadlock wig.
When he was in his Adam Duritz phase. Yeah. He went through a phase of like impersonating Adam Duritz, and him and Chris Wilson did like Adam Duritz and Rob Thomas yeah. duo. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and Chris looks and sounds nothing like Rob Thomas. He's right. basically just a hostage to Rod's crazy idea. But Rod looks so much like Adam Duritz, and when he puts on so he put on the dreadlock wig, and people asked him for autographs all night. Even though he's like 40, and Adam Duritz is like, gotta be pushing 60.
Yes, yeah. But I guess people have this, you know, ideation of Adam Duritz in their head that doesn't age because he is quite out of the spotlight.
That's sure, right. And they've probably had a few drinks.
Yeah.
And they're probably just like drunk on Matchbox 20.
Yes.
You know? Like,
oh, yeah.
They
yeah.
probably had so many drinks that Chris Wilson also looks like Rob Thomas.
Apparently, no, not at all.
Not at all? No. No amount of tall boys of Jack Daniels and Coke at the concert will make them think that.
No, but what was crazy is that they would introduce themselves as Rob Thomas and Adam Duritz,
mm-hmm.
and then people would assume that the Rob Thomas one was a bit because he looks nothing like Rob Thomas
right.
and sounded nothing like him, and no one was under any illusion. But they thought that the bit was the real Adam Duritz is going around with a fake Rob Thomas.
Like what?
Even in that context, they couldn't see through the disguise. Now, Dana, what is your relationship with advice? Have you received any good advice lately? Have you received any bad advice lately?
I have been professionally getting advice for about 5 years now, through a therapist.
Oh, a therapist.
Oh, and yeah, well, okay. And then I love giving advice on podcasts. I love getting advice on podcasts. Truly. Sometimes I almost trust my therapist's advice less because I'm paying her, you know, like
interesting. Yeah.
She just wants me to stick around, you know?
Right.
So I keep paying her.
Oh.
So you're afraid that she's going to be like, humana. I know what you should do.
Yeah, exactly. No. Let's talk more about how your husband, you and guys need to work on stuff. Actually, you know, I do couples therapy. No, I don't necessarily always trust it. Which is a hard thing to pay $120 every 2 weeks. Yeah, but
every 2 weeks.
I only do it every 2 weeks.
Okay, that's not bad. Oh, so it's per session? Or
yes,
no? Okay,
per session.
Right, 120 per session.
120 per session.
Okay, that's not so bad.
It's not so bad. I've
but
kind
it's
of been
not
grandfathered
easy.
In for a good rate.
Yeah,
you know?
I've heard of worse. But no, if I went to therapy, I would be so cheap about it. I would pay like nothing. I'd pay some freak. I would probably get the worst scam artist criminal therapy
in me. I did.
I
went
into like
BetterHelp.
Yeah. I would just sit next to some guy with a bunch of overturned plastic buckets.
I was so susceptible to like confident people when I was young that I kept falling for advice from like just schizophrenics on the bus.
Oh.
They would tell me that like the doors saw through to reality, and when they said break on through to the other side, that's how you know that they were clued in, and I'd be like, tell me more.
Were you soliciting their schizophrenic advice, or were they just talking out loud and then you tuned in?
I think I was just a wide-eyed little idiot.
They were probably not even talking to you.
Yeah.
You were just
looking for advice.
Hold on,
slow down. Let me write
anywhere.
This down. You know what? I really, you know,
he's calling me driver.
And look, I'm not trying to throw any kind of schizophrenic under the bus, but you know when you sometimes see a schizophrenic on the street and they're really loud and ranting and raving and they're screaming and swearing, mm-hmm. and it's scary, mm-hmm. and you think that they look like they're about to kill you. I really have learned that, like, well, I don't know if this is necessarily true, but it's they are not looking at us.
Oh no, you know, this they're not seeing that.
There's nothing.
Right?
I can't. You don't take it personally.
Yeah.
Not to say that if someone was coming at you screaming, you shouldn't run away and be scared.
If you get murdered by a schizophrenic, they're not murdering you.
Yeah.
They're murdering their hallucination. Yeah. And if you happen to get in the way, that's your own problem.
Yeah. And if I they're mean, calling out, driver, driver.
Yeah, you really shouldn't have been like, actually, talk more about that, because then you got in their sights.
That's right, yeah.
I'm happy you survived.
Yeah.
but any bad advice that you've gotten? That, well, like from your $120 therapist?
It's not that much, but, She just wants me to journal as much as I can, and I've never found that journaling has led to anything other than like anxiety about what I'm gonna talk about. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you gotta come up with bits to write down.
Exactly.
That's excruciating.
Anxiety about what you're gonna write about?
Yeah, what I'm gonna write about. Yeah, like because it's also, you know, I have to sit and write for comedy. And then now I have to write about what I think, like, not joke-wise?
Yeah, not joke-wise, and you're not even getting paid or doing a show with it?
Yeah.
I never journal, but no one ever told me to. Like, a therapist never told me to, because I've never been to 1 minute of therapy in my life. But that's how people usually say that. Like, they're acting surprised, but they're not surprised. But my friends, when I'm giving out to them about my problems or my anxieties, they say, you know what? You should journal. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'll get right on that. Mm-hmm. But you know what's funny? The physical act of orthography for me, like writing words with a nice pen, is therapeutic for me. So when I have a big set coming up, I will write out my jokes word for word down to the minuscule, like even telegraphing my act outs in like kind of more italic, because I just love writing. Like I love writing words and I like to look at my writing.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that weird?
That is. No, that's not weird. That's I can see it being
therapeutic. And I never read it again. I never go back and read it, or very rarely. It's just like the act of writing.
Yeah, calligraphy.
Yeah, I actually got a calligraphy set when I was a kid too.
Me too.
God,
who
did
didn't?
I ever make a mess. It was messy, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was messy. You'd have gone all over your hand.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
All over the
How
side.
Do they do it, these calligraphers?
They don't have these meat hooks, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they've just got like teeny tiny little things.
Yeah, just two fingers only and no fatty hands surrounding it. Do you journal, Mark?
Here and there. But I was just thinking about how, you know how like all the novels in like the 1800s or like early 1900s or whatever were all like written as like letters? You know, mm-hmm. there's like
yes.
Frankenstein and like Dracula. It was all like, my dearest so-and-so, like
I
have the most unbelievable thing to report to you.
Yeah.
And then it's just like this really long, drawn out, boring ass thing where you finally arrive.
Sorry, I haven't read those because I'm not like an English history literature major like you.
Yeah.
Do they really all be like that?
A lot of them like that.
You're really talking down and dumb for someone who just used orthography in a sentence. So casually. Do they really be like that? I don't know no words. I'm just a country linguistics major.
Oh, them books do be like that, honey. I've never read Dracula. I used to read a lot of Edgar Allan Poe in high school.
My father was just a small town linguistics professor. Focused on universal grammar. I don't know your highfalutin epistolary stuff. Is that what it is?
Look, down in the bayou, we studied under Chomsky, okay?
It was like the early, or I don't know when, but like in the Victorian era.
Right, right.
I guess that's when people were writing like a lot of letters to each other. And it seems to me like a big thing that they were focusing on then was like trying to like sell these like horror or fantasy premises as realistically as possible.
Right.
Like that was like the thrill. It was like everyone was trying to do like the Blair Witch Project thing back then. Where they're
the
like,
early
this,
Blair Witch.
Yeah, this really happened. This right. fucking really
And so
happened.
Like almost like a voyeurism kind of like I'm reading letters
yeah.
right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. And you could convince yourself that like someone just found these letters and published them.
And
these letters show this horrible true thing.
Events unfolding, yeah.
It's titillating.
Oh, I remember in Bram Stoker's Dracula, the movie, like, oh man, was there a lot of letters back and forth in that thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now imagine if it was 100% letters. It also, but it also gives like kind of a fun perspective, you know, because you're only ever catching Dracula. You're never getting Dracula's letters, you know? Actually, maybe you're probably catching a hint of one, because Dracula, this is my favorite part that I always forget about Dracula, is that it starts out in real estate. Every Dracula.
Right, he wants to sell his. Well, his
he wants to buy a home in England.
Oh, yeah, in London. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Right.
So he's like in Transylvania and he's just like a rich count.
Yeah.
So you're always starting in the real estate agency.
Yes.
It's like so funny to imagine that is like, yes, that's like Selling Sunset. We got to see like a Selling Sunset Dracula. And then it's just like a fucking real estate agent. I don't know how true this is to
and
what
you know
it was
what?
Like
he
but
wasn't even
back
a,
then.
Yeah.
But it was like a real estate agent has to travel across the ocean.
To Transylvania.
Into the mountains. They have to do like a 3-week trek.
But I don't think that they would normally have to do that. I think they did that just because Dracula was like, I haven't left my home in 80 years.
And he was
right.
Such
so
a wealthy
client. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think they just did it for the money.
It's basically the equivalent of like taking him out to the keg or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, nowadays they would just take Dracula out to the keg. And he'd be like, more rare.
Or
more
Earl's
rare. Oh, it's never rare enough.
Yeah, he would. He would.
Just
he would want
blood.
It rare, and he'd want his dark and stormy keg sized for sure.
Make my dark and stormy keg sized.
I never saw Bram Stoker's Dracula until, well, I did a long time ago, but I rewatched it on a flight, on like an 8-hour flight. I just kept falling asleep intermittently and then waking up and putting it right back to the start. And then I would wake up and it was like over, and I'm like, put it back to the start over and over. So I basically, like, subconsciously absorbed 8 straight hours of Bram Stoker's
Lucky.
Dracula. And Gary Oldman is so fucking ugly in that. Could they not have made him a hot... Why do we have to have a disgusting Dracula? He wasn't even hot when he was, like, a man about town in London with his hair and
his suit. Steampunk suit.
Yeah, steampunk look.
Did we talk about this on the podcast already? Because I'm obsessed with the fact that when he goes to London, he goes to, like, a movie house.
Yes.
And they're showing train races towards camera.
Oh.
Remember that?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That old, like, Lumiere brothers or whatever?
Uh-huh.
Where it's just, like, the train came towards the camera and everyone in the audience
freaks out. And
so
then
Dracula just happens to be there for that.
Right. Like,
screening.
In that moment in history. Kind of
like
a Forrest
Gump.
Yeah, Dracula Gump. Okay. So we're going to start with a user question, an anonymous question we received on our Instagram page. And if you want advice, you could find us on Instagram at How Can We Help Podcast or on Twitter at How Can We Help Podcast. And there will be links to our Google form.
Yep.
And you can submit a question anonymously. So our first question is from Anonymous. Hi, Jackie and Mark. I see so much of my mother in myself. Specifically when I have an impulse to be passive-aggressive or overly critical. These are qualities I can't stand in her, yet it sometimes feels like her voice is coming out of my mouth.
Oh my goodness.
How do I put a stop to this? 5 question marks.
Whoa.
How do I learn new ways to be?
2 of those question marks were her mother's question marks coming through her.
Yeah.
Wow, that's heavy, isn't it,
okay,
Dana?
Okay, first thing, you got to forgive your mom. That's the first thing. Like, I think that the answer to almost everything in life is self-compassion, and it allows you to be compassionate with these people around you. Like,
right.
Wow,
true.
Yes.
Yeah, you
so
can you tell I've been
your
going
mom
to...
and that should take 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
That's quick.
Yeah.
That is quick.
Like, if you're journaling, you can knock it down to 45 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
that's
really.
Right. Yeah, condense it.
Journal all your feelings about your mom. Mm-hmm. Once you see them in print, burn the journal.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, listen to the screams of the past singing their way to heaven.
Into the smoke.
Yeah, in the smoke. Bottle the smoke. Inhale the bottled smoke. Become the pain. And then unleash it.
That is already off the top, Dana. Some of the most sound, logical, and meaningful advice that this podcast has ever seen.
But let me say this, because you said you got to start by forgiving your mother, but then you said self-compassion leads to compassion for others. So it sounds like you got to
be nice to yourself
first.
Yeah, you
how
have to.
How does she do that?
How do you be nice to yourself?
I literally don't know how to do that.
Yeah, what would you say is the first step? Do you focus on mummy or do you focus on Mimi?
Oh, my Lord.
I would say you, I mean, I feel like it can be simultaneous, but I think that you focus on seeing your mummy and your Mimi as a Humi.
Thank you. You know what I mean? Why? Okay. Right. You are speaking my language. Quite literally.
I am also a linguistics major. That's a linguistics.
This is just a person who is, yes. Your mom is just a person who is the culmination of all of her past and her upbringing and her
exactly.
parents.
Exactly. You realize that she's a human and yes. that she never felt like she could, that she could ever speak make her needs known and like know exactly, tell everyone what she feels. And so she had to put on this like passive aggressive behavior, and but that with that knowledge, it is your job to change yourself, and you don't have to bring that baggage from your mom into your Mimi life. You know, you just know that you're a human, and don't get mad at yourself so much. You know,
great.
I can just tell with all of the punctuation that he's mad at himself.
You think this?
You think it's a guy? Interesting. I thought I assumed it was a woman.
Yes. Now, let me say this to piggyback on what you're saying. With the price of rent, what it is, at least in Toronto these days, you don't have space in your apartment for your mother's baggage. So you have to find a way to clear that out.
Yeah.
Leave that at the door.
And also, even the smallest unit at public storage is like at least $180 a month. Yeah. So you cannot get that.
You don't want to be paying that, honey.
No. Honey, no.
Otherwise, someday some stranger is going to be in a war for your unit, and they're going to pay a pittance to get your mother's baggage.
All your mother's
baggage. Secrets will spill out into the open air.
That is really good advice. Especially, it's more elaborate than what I was going to say, which is wear a rubber band around your wrist, and every time you start speaking out of your mom's voice starts speaking out of you, snap the rubber band so you remember to stop.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Or you could, if you don't have a rubber band, you could pull out some of your hair.
Oh yeah, just one doink, just, doink.
And then you get a little tiny piece of pain, and then you got a little reminder in your hand.
Perfect advice. Yeah. Yes. But wow, I really relate to this. This person, because like my mom has a lot of very intense and undiagnosed and untreated OCD tendencies about stove off, is the stove off, is the stove off, is this off, is this off, is it off.
My mom has a lot of undiagnosed OMC tendencies.
What's that? It
means everything she does makes me say, how bizarre. Ding, ding, ding.
And I see them in myself now as the older I get. Like before I left the house today, I knew all my shit was unplugged and I unplug everything. I'm so afraid of fire. My mom's really afraid of fire. And like growing up, it was so annoying as a teen. I was like, I wasn't allowed to have incense. I wasn't allowed to like burn incense. I wasn't allowed to have candles and like all this stuff that like especially teen goth girls who like are kind of goth.
Well, yeah,
like
you need it for your seances.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Incense and candles. I wasn't allowed fire. And now I'm like so paranoid. I have these same paranoias, and every time I feel them bubble up, I'm like, fuck. Like that's everything I hated as a kid. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, it's almost like I feel powerless. Like I'm on some conveyor belt being dragged towards a personhood that is like, I'm not choosing. It's so crazy.
You know what I think of sometimes is like my mom built up these crazy neuroses to deal, like to cope with something that was like for real going on in her life.
Okay.
So she needed to become like super neurotic and like, you know, she needed to like essentially become very stressed out about keeping her immediate surroundings like just so. And she was always very like, go, like focus on just going all the time.
Okay.
To like heal.
Sounds familiar.
But then what you end up with is that your parents pass on the like symptoms without like the cause. So it's like you pick up on the coping mechanisms, but then you don't have, there's nothing that they're helping you solve. So it's like you are the shell, but without like the yolk inside.
Oh my God.
So it's very weird because you don't know why you're doing these things. It's not helping you through anything. You're just like,
yes, it's like the people in Us, the movie Us, that are like under the ground and they're just doing these movements because the people up there are doing the movements.
Yeah, but they don't know why.
And they don't know why.
Yeah, you're obsessed with Us.
I'm so obsessed with Us. And I won't continue with Us. But that is so remarkable what you just said. Because like, yeah, of course my mom developed this OCD shit from her own childhood, which was more difficult than mine. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And now I'm just like stuck with these, like checking if the toaster's unplugged all the time because of my grandma.
I will say that it's like.
Well, because of Eve. Eve had trauma. She was a frickin' rib.
Oh yeah, that rib trauma. That is heavy.
That's heavy.
What would your mom do, like in terms of like having things just so?
She's just like a neat freak.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So now you're a neat freak?
Yeah.
And is that getting in the way of your...
Well, it just makes me like, I'm just very like, the traits that I've taken on that I don't necessarily like in myself are impatience. Like when Jackie doesn't set up the microphone in time, yeah, and I get kind of like...
Oh, God, do I ever get an earful when I'm not in my seat fast enough?
I get physically tense. I feel my, like my heart beat faster.
Uh-huh.
My breath gets constricted.
Uh-huh.
Or like if my girlfriend leaves like dishes around or something.
Okay. I just go like...
You know,
oh,
and it just
God.
Reminds me of my mom like clanging and banging if she came home from work,
right.
And like it's... we've been snacking and she's been out working all day and all, and we could, the least we could have done was put stuff away in the dishwasher, but we left it out, and then you just hear her clanging and banging,
huffing and puffing,
but
and clanging.
But then you say like, "Oh, mom, are you mad? I'm sorry," and then she goes, "I'm not mad," and then you're like, "Do
Oof.
I take her at her word?"
Mm. Okay, but no, what's opposite with me is my mom. Our house was clean, but uh-huh. she was not a neat freak in the sense that there was clutter and papers, a lot of papers everywhere.
Ooh, I can't.
And items all like a surface. And we would joke, and my dad would make this joke that if there's a surface, like an empty, clean surface, it doesn't have long because it's just like things. And that made me go so opposite that way that I am such a neat freak and I hate clutter so much that I drive my poor husband crazy because I'm like, he'll leave one small item out and I'll be like, so what's the plan for this thing? What's our plan for this?
Oh my God. What's the plan is my inner like horrible passive aggressive mantra.
Oh,
when
no.
I'm walking down the street and someone kind of like is walking in front of me
Uh-oh.
And they start like swaying from side. Like it's like, are they going in the left lane?
Right.
Are they going
yeah,
in
yeah,
the
like,
right
what's
lane?
Your plan?
Yeah.
In my head, like I'm always moments away from saying like, okay, what's the plan here? Are we walking fast? Are we walking slow? Are we taking up the whole sidewalk? Or like, is the plan just to block me? Or is the plan to get ahead at your pace? In which case, maybe we'll use the right lane because the left lane is for passing.
Wow, that's biting. Oh, that's cutting.
Yeah,
I love that.
But I can't stop. Like, it's like that just like, it's like
yes.
a refrain in my head.
Do you
and
know
then
what
I have
mine
to, like,
is?
Take a breath.
When there's a bunch of people walking and they're coming towards you on the sidewalk and it doesn't look like they're going to fucking give you an inch.
Yes.
My inner mantra is, what is this, a fucking boy band? Sorry, when did you guys form a boy band? You're not going to move. You're going to have to walk abreast like that. What, you're a boy band?
Yeah. And then when you walk by them, all they hear you muttering is, kiss, I'll get Luke Perlman on the phone. And they're like, what does that mean? You're already like six steps ahead in this boy band narrative.
What does that mean? Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, we would be like so toxic, Mark, as two neat freaks that always need to know the plan.
Yeah.
Like if we were roommates, that house would be fucked.
It's true.
What I do instead to avoid confrontation, I'm not saying this is a good thing. It's very passive aggressive, but I just hide the stuff, you know?
I love it.
I like help people will leave stuff around. And then, well, with my roommates, I won't hide it. Like I'll put it on just outside of their room. And I told them.
Very subtle.
I know, very subtle. And I was like, sorry, I just like, I can't have it. There's not supposed to be anything here. And then like, I'm sorry, this is not where socks go. You know, it's just not where socks go. You know, the hard thing is that like, how do you do that with dishes? You can't like leave dishes. Oh, maybe I should
it's
start
been
leaving
done.
Dishes in their
oh,
room.
Oh, it's been done. I've heard of roommates putting dirty dishes on like people's beds.
Yeah, you can't go down that road.
No, I will. I would never. I would never. I've instead kind of started dissociating because I'm not a neat freak. This is my advice, actually. This pertains to the mother stuff too. Like dissociating helps because I.
You heard it here.
It does. It does because I'm just like. Like something will be, there will be like a blanket that's askew or something like that in the living room. And I'll just like, okay, well, I just won't go in the living room then, you know? And
right.
so I just avoid the living room. And the same thing with the kitchen where I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to leave.
so to not look at it out of sight, out of mind. La 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 la. It's not happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Tim like? Does he drive? Is he neat like you, or does he drive you nuts?
He's not neat, but he's cleaner. That's okay, the thing.
Yeah, there's
neat,
a difference.
But I'm not clean.
I'm not clean.
Carlin's clean, but she's not neat.
Yes, I mean, I think it's a good enough compromise because like he does the cleaning and I do the why is this not in the mold? You know, like yeah, I like things to look just so, but I don't look too closely.
Yes. That's me too. There can be like an inch of dust.
Yes, exactly.
I have the stunning combo of being both concerned with both. You know what? You know how it's been sunnier recently, and like when the sun comes shows the dust and dirt, it drives me insane. I'm like, it makes me feel like down on myself. Like I'm a fucking dirt ball. Like I'm living like this.
Yeah.
When the sun reveals your sins, it's like the black light going on in SVU.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, there was how much cum on this mattress?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Everywhere. Now, this must be tough for you as an ultimate need freak because your husband's full name is Elliot Pigpen. So that's tough.
He's more cluttery than me for sure. When I first met him, his room was like so, like he had roommates in this beautiful house, but all of his stuff was just in his room because he's like, I don't want to put any of my stuff anywhere else because like he did his roommates and he didn't want people touching his stuff and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then I was like, he had this like bottle of Fever Tree ginger beer sitting somewhere. And then he bought another bottle of Fever Tree ginger beer. And I said, but you already had that bottle. And he goes, yeah, but that's like to have. But this one I want to drink. And I'm like, that's a hoarder. That's a hoarder rhetoric.
That's literally, you can have your bottle of Fever Tree and ginger beer and drink it too.
Yeah. So I'm like, this guy is
that's
like
Antoinette
cluttery.
Behavior.
Yeah. I said, this is like a hoardery kind of thing. And now that we like, well, we've lived together for a long time now, but like, I'm just like, you know, I have to put my foot down. I'm like, we don't need this. This item doesn't need to be had. And he's not like full-blown A&E hoarder free. I mean, he's not full-blown A&E hoarder sufferer.
Right. Yep. Good catch.
But we're certainly very different.
Yeah.
A&E hoarder. Yeah, I see.
A&E hoarders. Yeah. You can watch hoarders. It. You can watch it at supper at your parents' house.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that like I stray too far from like because I never really was taught organization from my family, and so my method of doing that is just throwing everything out, including like important documents.
Over-purging.
I'm like, an over-purger too.
I don't like Tim has all of these stacks of papers that he probably needs, and honestly he probably doesn't need as many as he has.
Nope,
like,
I agree. He doesn't,
but I can't go through it because I don't know, because my papers are nothing. Like I don't have any, and yes. I should, because if anyone comes knocking, hey, we want your papers, I don't have them.
Yeah,
I don't have any papers.
You sound like an Italian in the 1940s.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And they come knocking and you are without your papers.
It's tough. Speaking of Italians, when you signed up for linguistics, is that because you saw that the course name was L-I-N-G Ling and you thought it was short for linguini? You little Italian rat.
No, actually, because linguine is actually one of my lesser preferred pastas. Thank you very much.
Oh.
Some of you could have taken a course in how to appreciate it more.
if it would have been called
to dox the class.
How would I put this? If it would have been called farfguistics, then I would have been running.
What's farf?
Like farfalle? Yeah, it's my favorite.
I don't know farfalle.
Like bow ties.
Oh, the bow tie one.
They're beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
I love bow ties.
I don't like bow ties. We disagree. I don't like, and I won't eat them ever. I won't ever buy them because, well, I'd eat them. But I would never buy them.
You will not support them financially.
I will not support the farfalle industry because I like twirling my
pasta. Fair enough.
Yeah. I like a good twirl.
I'm more of a fan of a double Windsor necktie pasta. I like an ascot pasta.
I like pastas in like soups and stews though, so that's why I like the farfalle.
Oh,
anyways.
Yeah. I like that too. Elbow pasta in a minestrone.
Yeah, that's nice.
And there you have it.
I think that me and you really didn't give any or good advice, but I think Dana gave that person exquisite advice.
Ultimately, dissociation.
Dana's advice started really well
and then it got to who I really am.
So her advice is to cross both of your arms across your chest, close your eyes and lean back on the couch and close your eyes and go far
just
away.
Just don't listen to anyone ever again.
Here's my real advice.
Okay.
there's ways to learn how to be more patient and forgiving, and it all comes down to personal health and wellness. And so if you're feeling better during the day, you will feel less testy. And it's coming from testiness, your feelings of testiness. So I think treat yourself well and get a good routine and exercise lots. And
he's calling them hangry.
Watch Dr. Guberman on
He's
top.
Saying they're hangry.
They're hangry. Yeah, quit being hangry. Don't make me hangry. You wouldn't like me when I'm hangry. Okay. Now it's time for question number two, but okay. This is our pro showdown, a.k.a. what do the pros knows?
Okay.
A.k.a. we're going to take a advice question from one of the larger publications, in this case, Dear Prudence from Slate.com.
Okay.
I don't know if you've She's ever good. Read her advice, but it's great. I'm going to read the question that she received. We're going to give our thoughts, and then we're going to compare and contrast
with hers.
Official advice columnist advice from Prudence herself. Yeah, she's
great. She is great.
Okay.
We do like Prudy.
Okay.
Okay. This one's from March 21st, 2023. Here's the title they've given it. Apologies making me nuts. My sister-in-law is a chronic over-apologizer. Now, this says something as... we as Canadians can frickin' get into, you know what I mean? We know what this is all about. My sister-in-law is a chronic over-apologizer, and not in a way that's, I'm sorry, but can you help me? If you ask her to pass the salt, she apologizes. If you hold a door open for her, she apologizes. If you walk into the living room and she's already on the couch, she apologizes. And she does it with the emotional intensity you would use if you ran over someone's dog with your car. I know she has serious anxiety, but it's so draining, and I end up going out of my way to avoid triggering it. I need to know what to say when she does it, because there are only so many times I can say no worries without it sounding hostile, and I know you aren't supposed to say don't apologize, but it sometimes slips out. Should I just ignore it? Should I talk to her about it? Please help.
What? Sorry, my first question is, you're not supposed to say don't apologize?
I don't know.
Is that Apparently. A thing?
I didn't know that either.
Oh, I didn't know that. I've been going around telling everybody, whether they've apologized or not, to not apologize.
Yeah, you're also telling them to take down their frickin' Canadian flag and stop drinking good old-fashioned Tim Hortons cuppa. Quit rolling up the rim while you're at it. Why don't you strip us bare of our identity and rewrite the anthem?
That's what she's asking this girl to do, this poor girl. Well, this is in the States. I guess.
This is
probably.
Okay. But okay, so I didn't know that you're not supposed to say that, but this does sound...
I guess it could seem shamey.
Right, you know? Right. And that would make them apologize even more.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel for this writer. That is draining. I've known people that are like that. And I've maybe over-apologized sometimes too. But God, what do you do about it? Can you have a talk? Can you have a concerted talk and say, please stop.
I hate it.
But you know what? It's so reflexive for this person. It's like, that's like asking someone to stop breathing in and out. Like, she's been doing this her whole life, obviously.
Here's what you're going to want to do. Similar to how you would trick a dog into taking medication.
Okay.
You're going to want to slip one Lexapro pill into her ice cream every day. Feed it to her with her spoon, classic, next to her wet food.
Yeah.
And if she has dry food for her teeth, it's just harder to hide in that. So you can slip it into her wet food or into an ice cream as a nice treat.
Yes.
After about a month, she's going to start to feel the effects of this Lexapro, and it's going to help deal with her anxiety. And then she might just stop apologizing so much to begin with.
She might just fall asleep.
Yeah. Now, I don't think that this is...
You can't apologize when you're asleep.
Oh, you're not going to fall asleep on Lexapro. Are
you kidding me? Why? What happens?
You're going to get... Up.
Are you lit? Are you lit right now on Lexapro?
I don't know.
Are you on Lexapro?
Yes. There was
right
two.
Today, are you on Lexapro?
Every day. But
what
no.
time do you take it?
I don't know, like noon.
Can I have one?
No.
Can I?
You wouldn't even, it wouldn't do anything.
Why not?
It takes like a month for it to start like compiling or whatever.
Everyone else gives me samples of their medication.
Well, you can't have this. You're not getting this. It won't do anything for you.
Fine.
But no, I don't know. I mean, there was like a 2-month manic spike for me when I started Lexapro, like after the first month of nothing. But then since then, it just feels normal. So I'm neither up nor down.
Right. Well, know what I would do? If I was the girl and if I was the writer and the sister-in-law was my sister-in-law constantly, sorry. Pass the salt, sorry. I would start mirroring it and amplifying it. So like, let's say I say, pass the salt. And she goes, oh, sorry. And passes the salt. I'd be like, no, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And I would be like, you know, almost crying.
They call this, yeah, therapists call this the evil clown approach to behavioralism.
No, isn't it called, that's not exposure therapy. This is called taste of your own medicine therapy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you have to find some way of having fun with it. You know, like you have to find a way of like making yourself enjoy the process.
Okay.
Because you can't change it. You can't ask her to change it. So you have to start saying, doing that or saying apology accepted. You know, like every single time.
apology accepted is really funny.
Every single time. Thank you for recognizing the wrong that you did. You know what I mean? Like something like
really
that.
Like
now,
that.
This is probably not the advice that Prudence is going to give, but I recommend when you get really fed up with this, just going, shut up. Stop fucking doing that. Just have like a little snap, like once a day. Once a day.
Every day.
Every day you go, fuck.
Oh my God. That is going to amplify and exacerbate the apologizing.
Which part?
Every part of it.
Fuck. Off or shut up, whatever you said.
Yeah.
That so, part.
Say shut the fuck up. I feel like we're saying the same thing. Say shut up.
You could do that. Or you could have a sorry jar and she has to put a loony in it every time she says sorry.
Yeah.
Just to make her, because she's obviously not aware of that she's doing it so much. Surely. Certainly she wouldn't be aware of it, right?
Well, how could you not? Because it's not
so
even
reflexive.
Like, it sounds like she's also saying it with the intensity of running over a dog.
You're right.
You know?
She did
it would be
point that
the
out.
Most
oh,
annoying
so
thing
so
in the
so
world.
Oh my God, it would be so annoying.
Is this
so
a sister-in-law? Cut her
no
out.
No one I would love to know.
Yeah, honestly, dissociate. Do not talk to her ever again.
Treat it like Dana with a blanket that's a bit askew.
Yes.
Leave the room. Caution tape over the door.
You know what's an interesting detail that we don't know? Is the sister-in-law her husband's sister or her brother's wife? That's so different.
It is.
I think that's a real different... They should have
different
names for that.
Yeah. That's true, because brother's wife, you don't need to be hanging out with brother's wife.
No, I don't think you
do. Husband's sister, you probably need to be hanging
out
with.
But think about what you just said, because your husband's sister is you are their... brother's wife. So why are they hanging out with you so much?
Oh my God. It's a Ponzi scheme. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. So what sister-in-law is it? Because I feel like there's different relationships with those. Like,
yes.
I feel like I would be, my brother probably will never have a wife and I will never have a sister-in-law on that side. But I feel like I would be more, I don't know, maybe... I don't know. It depends on how comfortable you are. I wish this girl was more comfortable with this girl so that she could be like, oh my God. Like, you know how you talk to your best friend?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Stop. Would you stop, girl? Like, you know how you like can just say something to your friend and be like, would you stop?
Yeah.
They need to become closer. Know what? This is my advice. Become closer like real family, because you're not afraid to tell your real family. Like, when my mom or dad or any of us are doing something, we're always just like, would you fucking stop that? Oh, my God.
Own your space, bitch. Like, something like that.
Although you say that your family doesn't say anything like that to each other.
Yeah, and I just want to say that historically, there's no less fraught relationship than someone with their immediate family.
True.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just turn it into that pure example of giving relationship that you have with your parents and siblings.
But I just mean the comfort to say anything. Fine. Best friend relationship.
Right.
So now you have to become best friends with the person so that you can just say what's on your mind. So become best friends with her.
Order of business number one, become best friends with the most annoying person
I've ever
heard described.
And then as soon as the best friendship sets in like Jell-O, then you say, fucking shut up.
Yeah.
Like your advice.
So basically you're conning your way into a close friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And once
repressing
you're in
all
there,
the anger.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the
Turning
Trojan horse is you
diamond.
As like a nice person.
Yeah.
And then what you're letting out of the Trojan horse is honesty.
What did they let out of the original Trojan horse? Just
guys
and bullets? Not bullets. Swords?
Swords.
I think
guys with swords.
Yeah. A bunch of Trojans.
Oh, yeah. When they were making that horse, do you think they had any kind of inkling they had of like, oh, my God, people are going to be fucking talking about this for years? Do you think they had any idea when they're in that horse all like, oh, God, it's so claustrophobic? At least they could have thought, okay, well, at least it's going to be worth it because they're going to be referencing this for a long time. You think it was worth it?
Guys, we are making history.
Yeah. Well, your like face is like in another guy's ass and you're just dying.
They're like, are we doing this right now? Are we fucking doing this right now? This is crazy. Yeah.
Why couldn't we just climb the walls or something? Like,
I'm certain that the horse looked so unrealistic. I'm sorry. But like just the technology they had back then, what did this thing look like?
I don't think it was meant to look like an actual horse.
What do you mean?
The technology back then, they didn't have a fleshy, lifelike horse sculpture.
And they weren't like,
the real horse.
Welcome, giant horse.
What do you mean? What was it? What was the disguise?
It was supposed to be like a gift.
Like a piece of art.
Like a piece of art.
Like a sculpture of a big wooden horse. It wasn't supposed to be like a flesh and blood horse.
Like a guy, two guys in a horse costume walking through the
I literally door. Thought that's what it was. Okay, we're cutting
it was
this.
Like 30 guys.
No one can ever know how dumb I am.
Oh, if only the Trojan horse was part of the linguistics curriculum.
I thought it was like made out of that like that kind of synthetic, like you know how you can get like real dolls?
Yeah.
You thought it was, you thought.
Yeah, back in the Trojan days.
Ancient Greek era real doll horse. It was like the Body Works exhibit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They sliced open a real horse, put one guy in there, stitched the horse back up. And then in the middle of the night, the guy birthed himself from the horse and went on a small solo rampage.
All right. I've learned something here today. I've had my history lesson. And then now we can find out what the real advice is.
Okay. So this surprised me, Prudence's answer. I don't really understand how it's draining to you for her to do this.
Oh, Prudence is an apologizer.
Yeah.
Why does, quote, no worries have to become hostile? You can just keep going, living your life, and letting her say what she wants to. If you really can't spare the two extra words, why don't you tell her, if you apologize when there's nothing to be sorry for, I'm going to change the topic, okay? I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you, but I get tired of hearing myself say no worries. But really, when you find yourself deeply annoyed by something someone else is doing that doesn't really affect you, I think it's time for a deep breath and reset. What's really bothering you about her? Is there a larger issue with her personality? Do you simply not like being around her? Does something about her apparent lack of confidence remind you of a side of yourself that makes you uncomfortable?
Ooh,
ding, 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 ding.
Prudence!
If there are no other issues, accept her little quirk and by all means do not take her aside and tell her she has to change just because you'd like her to.
Ooh. Whoa, okay, but you know what?
This is hardcore Prudy coming
Hell
at the letter
right.
That is the most
that.
Prudish advice I've ever heard. Because, but you know what? I have to disagree with her off the top being obtuse by saying, how is this draining? Come on! That would be draining.
Yeah,
what are you
freaking Christ himself,
Prudence?
Yeah,
exactly, Mark, exactly.
What, do you have an endless well of patience?
That was very righteous sounding.
Yeah.
Like,
it's never just two extra. When someone does the same thing over and over again,
mm-hmm.
and it's so unjustified.
Yes.
Prudence, I don't say this lightly, but shut the fuck up.
No, I'm with Prudence. Like, I'm like,
I
like that advice. I like the advice of, like, what's your fucking deal, man? Like, calm down.
Yeah, like
why
turn
are you,
the tables.
Yeah, like, just chill out. How about that?
But you can't just chill out.
Well, I mean, I know I
can
I
no
be able
more
to.
Chill out than a freak can stop saying I'm sorry for every little thing.
You know what I liked about this advice though was the piece of you let you like your
yes
because
yes.
It's literally
it's the things that bother you the most that are parts of yourself parts of yourself that you don't like.
Which
a
is
bully
the,
is worried that he himself is a nerdlinger.
Exactly.
and that's what Jewel wrote about in her song "Pieces of You."
That's what
you
Jewel
say.
Wrote about in her song "Nerdlinger."
Yeah.
Say he's a nerd. Do you hate him? Right? Do you remember that song?
Yeah.
That's the line?
No, I'm putting your lyrics in it. What, do you also think that a Trojan horse is supposed to look like a real horse? Yeah. Sorry, just to circle back, why would they want that as a gift? I'd be like, no thanks. I don't want this big, stupid fucking horse.
I feel like they were all like, okay, I guess.
I guess
and then
I'm being
they
polite.
Because we're like, we're not just going to leave this. All the neighbors are going to see this weird ass horse in front. So let's like get it inside. Yeah.
This was at a time too when like sculptures and art weren't as abundant as we have them now. You know?
You know, I'm up to my knees in sculptures around my house. but yeah, I think Prudence is being very harsh, but I do wonder about the writer, and maybe they are, maybe they're insecure and they're like, ew, how can you so baldly be displaying your insecurity verbally? Maybe they're disgusted by it because they repress their own insecurities so
yeah.
much.
Yeah, but it's one thing to know. I mean, knowing that is the first step, knowing right. that about yourself, and then you got to work on it.
But sometimes I get mad when someone can't mask things the way I mask it. It's like, you know when people are like, I'm grumpy. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, well, so am I, but I'm a human, oh, so I'm masking it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If
why are you making it my problem?
Yeah. So yeah. I would say the same thing. If I'm an insecure person too, but someone that's constantly, sorry, I'd be like, why don't you just pretend to be a confident person like I'm pretending to be a confident person? I'm putting the work in.
Have you ever been in the States where they... I can feel how much I apologize when I'm in the States.
Yes.
But not like that I apologize for things that I'm genuinely sorry for. I just use it as shorthand for like a lot of different words that they do not use it for in the States. So like, for instance, in Canada, I think often we say sorry instead of excuse me.
Yes.
We use it as a replacement for excuse me.
Yeah.
So if you're pushing by someone on like the escalator or whatever, you go, sorry. You know, you just say it, you throw it in there. It doesn't mean I am sorry. I am deeply sorry for this imposition. It just means coming through.
Yes.
Or if you don't hear someone, you're like, sorry?
Yeah,
exactly.
Say it again.
And so many times I've been in the States and I've said something like that and someone's reacted to me like they're hearing it for the first time. And they're like, don't be sorry.
Right. They really genuinely believe it's sincere. Really,
yeah. It's like when an old person hears you say, what's up?
Right.
And they go, what is up? It's the first time they've ever heard that turn of phrase.
Yes.
What's up?
And do you know what you're describing right now is under the banner of sociolinguistics, where like things like norms like that change from like in like geographical lines.
Cool.
Yeah.
Definitely cool.
Very cool.
It's definitely cool. But maybe that's so then maybe that's what this person is meaning it as. Like maybe the other person they're both presumably from the States.
Maybe the sister-in-law is Canadian.
Maybe she's Canadian.
Oh my God.
Or she just means it in a different way.
She's got a Canadian sister-in-law.
That's what it is.
And that is in itself the problem.
Honestly, I do feel like dissociation would work here too, because basically you don't like this person. Okay.
Yeah.
That's ultimately what it is. You don't like them. So don't go to them and be like, hey, I don't like this about you. You fucking change. Just be like, I'm not friends with you.
Right.
Yeah.
But you have to see them probably quite often. What about this?
Okay.
Get make yourself a soundtrack that's just kind of like, sorry, oh, sorry, 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 oh, sorry, 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 I'm sorry. And then play that in the background whenever she comes over so that her stories just kind of like blend into that kind of background music.
Yeah, or like fall asleep to that track.
Yeah, so that you
can't
hear it anymore.
So that you can't hear it anymore and you're so used to it.
Yeah, exposure therapy.
Yeah.
Perfect. Wow.
Yeah, get yourself a welcome mat that says, in this house, sorry means fuck you.
What if you got a dog, name it Sorry, and say, like, that's actually really confusing because my dog's name is Sorry.
Brilliant.
So don't say that because, like, he thinks you're, like, about to give him food or something
like
that. And my other dog's name is Mr. My Bad, so don't say my bad. Do not say my bad.
Oh, we solved it.
Yeah.
Perfectly solved.
It's time for our final segment, celebrity advice.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
Dana, you might not know this, but Jackie and I have a lot of celebrity followers.
Ooh.
Celebrities in our circle. And they want advice as much as the next person.
Okay.
You know, Joe Average needs advice no more than Joe Exceptional. So with that being said, here is a recent letter we got, and it's actually interestingly connected to some of what we've been discussing in today's podcast. Dear Mark and Jackie, I recently hired a real estate agent to help me find a home in England.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
But when he came to visit me, he looked so freaking tasty that I just had to have a nibble. Ha ha. Anyways, now I'm living in England and trying to date his girlfriend or wife or something, but everyone is trying to kill me. What the hell? Should I take the message and go home, or should I go on a rampage of humping and biting and draining until everyone in this stupid country is my blood slave? LOL, sorry if this sounds like drama. I'm confused. Yours, Dracula.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it wasn't anonymous.
No, he signed it.
What's his rampage Humping, biting,
and draining.
But was he humping anyone?
Yeah, Dracula was horny as hell.
I kept falling
asleep. Well, in Bram Stoker's, he turns into a bit of a werewolf in order to hump the woman he likes friend.
Ew, that thing is so gross. I would never want to fucking hook up with that werewolf. He's so disgusting. It's not even like actually good looking, like a real wolf is actually hot in a way.
Wolves can get it. You know, like you can tell they've got like the bone structure in the eyes.
Yes, those blue eyes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love blue eyes.
Yeah, this one's kind of mangy.
Very mangy, very overly roided out, kind of like really muscular, which is not really my thing.
Yeah, it's a little bit like Roger the Kangaroo. The jacked up kangaroo with the forward sloping shoulders and the old man pecs.
Yeah, it was like,
but he is hot.
Some girls go crazy for him. Yeah, some girls like that.
Yeah, like he's got the traps.
Oh yeah, his traps are so divine.
They're huge.
But what advice would I give to this writer? Should he leave because everyone hates him? Yeah, read the room. That's what I'm saying. Read the room. Everyone in London hates you and is trying to kill you.
Leave before humping, please.
Yeah, you're not even getting the work done that you want to get done because people are trying to intercept you and sabotage you at every turn, these Londoners.
What work do you think he's trying to get done?
Hump, drain, and bite.
Oh, that's his work.
That's his agenda, certainly.
Yeah.
And you're not, obviously, why would you want to be somewhere? This is what I say. Why would you want to be somewhere that people don't want you?
Yeah.
I would hate that feeling. I would go back to Transylvania or wherever, or go somewhere new.
Cyprus. Well, I would say this to you. There can be 99 people in a room who don't want you to hump, drain, and bite them. But if one person does want you to hump, drain, and bite them, that can make all the difference in your career.
And sometimes that person is Bradley Cooper.
Yep.
Keep your eye out for him in the streets of London.
Let's just boil down the advice that you're giving there, Jackie, because you're basically saying if you're in a situation where you're not feeling super welcome.
Yeah.
Find a new situation as opposed to fight and struggle and get revenge. But I would think of you as someone who likes a little bit of revenge.
Girl, I do love revenge. Yeah. I love revenge. You're right. Where was I? What was I thinking?
I don't know.
Okay, fine. In that case, I'd be like, okay, oh, sorry. You don't want me here? Well, guess who's going to crank up the saturation on all the biting, humping, draining.
Yeah, this is kind of
24/7 now.
This is the Legally Blonde defense. You're going to lean into the pink.
I've never seen that film.
Really?
I really have not.
I think you'd like it.
I know. Everyone says that they think I'd like it.
It's nice.
Basically a modern retelling of Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'd love that.
So what's our final advice for Dracula? Hightail it or lean in?
I say become the Great Gatsby of the neighborhood. Have the best parties. Make sure that everyone wants to be at your place, and then take it away.
Yes. Find yourself at the head of the PTA.
Yeah.
Get involved in the schools.
The
PTA.
Get involved in the community.
Yeah.
Chamber of Commerce, Friars Club.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
We are living in a world with a victim mindset. Dracula, you are painting yourself to be the victim here. You are not taking responsibility for your role in people not liking you when you're going around, and it's not the humping. It's the biting and draining.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's got it. You got to take responsibility for that. If you want people to like you, you got to stop biting and draining them and enslaving them and turning them into your blood slaves.
But you're saying that the humping can continue rampantly?
I mean, I think it's the least of your sins. You're going to piss off some husbands, sure. But you're not going to run afoul of the law unless you're biting and draining. You got to stop that. So if you genuinely want to have a second home, a sort of summer home in London.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that the crux of this is real estate.
You got to play by London's rules. If you want to bite and drain, stay in the Transylvania hillsides and keep taking on the shepherds or whatever. But London has London rules.
Uh-huh.
And you gotta sometimes conform.
Yeah, you're not in Kansas anymore, basically. Because he was a hillbilly hick out in the sticks.
Yeah, you don't go to Oz and frickin' start eating the munchkins. You know what I mean? You eat what the munchkins eat. Oversized lollipops.
Which is like, ugh.
Every
gross.
Day. Yeah. No, I think that like he like just came in too hot, you know, like just play by their rules. You'll find people there who want to get bitten and drained. You're gonna. It's
that's
England. It's
right.
Huge.
You'll find your tribe.
You're gonna find your tribe. Everyone.
Yeah.
You just have to look for them.
You got to look for them.
Yeah.
Make your needs known.
Yeah. Without being too obtuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
don't
faux pas.
Just expect everything, you know?
Yeah.
And no mind games, okay? None of that. I don't think so.
Was he playing mind games in the movie?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he like literally hypnotizes people and gets them to come.
Yeah, no, but like
him.
I think that's a metaphor for playing mind games, though. That's a
metaphor. That is so fuckboy fucking behavior. Yeah. It's like
he's just love
hypnotizing
bombing.
You. Yeah, yeah, love bombing. Yeah, and get all those pretty
fuck
girls.
A fuckboy will get his body shipped across the Atlantic in a coffin and then feast on the crew so that the ship washes up on the New England seaboard full of only rats and nothing else and a dead crew. And investigators
and
can't
a fuckboy will manipulate his shadow so it doesn't match his corporal movements.
Yeah. A fuckboy will captivate Renfield so that he eats bugs and rats
to the point where he's in a rubber room in his element, really.
These are things a fuckboy will do.
Yeah.
So you've just got up. So, ladies and fellas, you got to be on your guard.
Good advice.
That's fuckboy behavior. Keep calm and don't date fuckboys.
Perfect advice as always.
That's how I felt. Now, Dana, where can people find you? Online or elsewise?
Dana Smith Comedy on Instagram. And that's pretty much it.
And on your own fabulous podcast, which is Hunks.
Oh, which is Hunks, yeah.
Such a fun podcast.
I love it. I love doing it.
I've laughed so hard doing Hunks that I was like sweating bullets. And my my skin on my face was hot to the touch after I did Hunks. I was like, oh my God, I'm literally burning up from how much we've been laughing.
That's
it was so
nice.
Fun. It's the funnest podcast.
Comedy fever.
Yeah, I had it. I had it, and there was no end in sight. There was no ice pack in sight.
Cure.
That was very fun. Thank you so much for being here with us, Dana.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Dana. You can find Jackie online at Jackie Pirico. You can find me at Mark Little Comedy. You can watch all of my little improv TikToks.
Yeah.
And you can also go see Jackie live at Laugh Sabbath every Thursday at 9:30, or my show, Good Stuff, every Friday at 7 p.m., both at Comedy Bar here in Toronto.
Both beautiful shows.
Actually, I have a show that's starting at Old School. It's like every second Thursday, just
at Old School on
Old
Dundas.
School
this
on Dundas.
Will be out before the second Mayan apocalypse.
Perfect.
So if your show is still going after that.
So they've got to start up again and then get established and then collapse again.
The new Mayan calendar. Right. Have we already talked about Mayan firefighter calendars? Because I really like that.
No. Next time. We're running long. Next time.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Old School on Dundas and like Manning or Dundas,
Dundas and Palmerston.
Dundas and Palmerston. That's a great venue. That's going to be a great
show.
Oh,
we love Palmerston. The Queen's Boulevard.
Oh, it's beautiful. It is beautiful.
The street that was widened for the Queen's visit.
I did not know that.
We'll get into it next week.
Next week. Tune in.
And
Queen's
if you
visit.
As always, if you want advice, write us, visit us. How Can We Help podcast on Twitter or Instagram and submit a question anonymously through our form.
And we'll help you.
Find a link in our bio on either page.
Yes. And until then, night night.
Night night.
Night night.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar.